Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number three on Hump Day. On the day that we hear the camel, it's also the day that we turn to hour number three's Grand Council. So let me go ahead and call the roll and see if my brethren are here. So we got from 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN up yonder in the Huntsville region, host of the Dale Jackson Show, does a gig with Yellowhammer, has a gig on TV. Dale Jackson, are you there? You are indeed. Stand at ease. All right, and then turning southward to the Gulf of America, host of the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5, editor-in-chief of 1819 News. Jeff Poor, are you there?
I am present.
You are indeed. I'm glad of it. I pronounce a quorum. Hit it, man.
Assemble the Grand Council.
Ba-da. Ba-da. All right, fellas. Well, first of all, I am going to go ahead and say that Grand Council was actually an accident that occurred when I was beta testing this show 4.5 years ago, and the power went out, and I called Dale Jackson in a panic. I said, dude, my power went out, and he jumped on the show. He got me on the phone, Jeff on the phone, and we did this ad hoc thing, and I thought, I'm going to do that every week. That was awesome. So you guys have been Grand Counseling with me for 4.5 years, and I want to tell you, in front of God and everybody, how much I appreciate it, and I've enjoyed it. It's been a huge part of the show, so thank you very much.
Well, thank you. Excited to see what you're going to go do and how we can use it to our advantage.
And I expect nothing less from the likes of you. All right, you guys. Well, listen, as always, we ask questions of each other. We see where we stand on the issues. Dale Jackson, since you spoke up, you're first. What you got?
I don't know how relevant this is or not, but let's just say I received some sort of subpoena to appear before the United States Senate to to answer some questions. Do I have to respond to that?
Subpoena before the United States Senate. Yes, typically you do, because subpoenas are things called mandatory. It's mandatory appearance. You can actually
we better talk offline then. That might be something we might want to have a conversation about. On a serious front, here for a second. Let me ask you this question. Donald Trump has once again said, look, I'm not allowed to run for a third term. Everyone knows he's trolling on this. How long are we? Are we going to just do this until he finally dies and can't run ever again?
You know, there is trolling, and then there's Trump trolling. The man is a genius when it comes to pushing the buttons of the Never Trumpers, who just live for the next opportunity to freak out about anything the man said. Never mind how much he's accomplishing. Oh, my God, he might try to run for a third term. Listen, Trump trolling is like epic next level. We're going to keep talking about it because they got nothing else. So if you notice, they're not talking about issues. They sure don't want to address their shutdown. They need to grab hold of something like, he might run for a third term. So I don't think we're done with it. I think they'll ride that train just as long as the track keeps going. Jeff?
Yeah, it's trolling. I just it feeds this beast, though, and it makes my ears kind of bleed a little with the, he's an authoritarian, he's a king, he's a dictator. I just, Trump feeds it, but like, I mean, like, how do you feel about it? It's just noise to us. Does it really matter? Or, I mean, do I just watch too much cable news, I guess?
You know what's funny, too, added to the fray, the other day he sent them into a tizzy because he intimated that he might want to run for vice president because that might not be prohibited.
He also said that J.D. Vance and Marco Rubio would be a ticket that would be hard to beat. Like he made that argument, and then they just like glanced over it and right back to the, he could run again. He's building a bunker underneath the East Wing, and it's so he can hide there and stay there and never leave. And it's just like, guys, come on. What
are we doing? I listen. The bottom line is, the man has a good time doing what he does. He's living his best life. I mean, the guy, you can tell he's in his element every single day. And part of his element is making sure that the people who are freaking out, if you know what, it's like George Wallace used to say, as long as they're talking about you and they spell your name right, it's still good PR. All right, next question. Jeff, what do you got?
I need you to confirm, Senator, that on the heels of this big announcement in Montgomery, that Donald Watkins has now withdrawn his name for consideration to be Stephen Reed's director of small and minority business development, that you're not in the mix for that position?
To the best of my knowledge, I am not in the mix for any job with Stephen Reed's administration. That is confirmed. I'm announcing it for the first time here. JP can have some applause. I don't intend to work for Stephen Reed. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Is that out of your jurisdiction?
Yeah, that would, okay. Yeah, it's too much of a commute, man. It was too hard.
I didn't mean that. I meant out of your U.S. attorney jurisdiction.
Yeah.
That's what I meant.
No comment. So okay. Anyway, why? What's your point, Jeff?
Oh, no, Donald Watkins is no longer under consideration. So he withdrew. And then Stephen Reed kind of gives a belligerent statement here. I want to make clear that this decision is not a reflection of his qualifications, experience, or passion for the city of Montgomery. And then he rambles on some more about that. So if not Donald Watkins Jr., I mean, maybe he'll make his dad Joe Reed or somebody like that. Where do we go from here?
What was the position and why do we even care? Wasn't it like for like Small Business Administration Director for the city of Montgomery or something like that? What was it?
Small and Minority Business Development. So yeah, it was that. And, you know, there's you know, millions and millions of people in this country. And Don Watkins Jr. was like his leading guy.
Look, in Alabama, Jeff and I know this, and Phil Williams, you know this as well.
Oh, yeah.
That his father has this stupid blog that is read by all the right black politicians and educators in this state, and they're afraid of it. They are absolutely terrified of this thing. And for some reason, there are some people on the right in the political spectrum that read it as well, and they're all afraid of it. That's what it's all about. This was just... I'm going to buy you off through your kid. That's all that was, in my opinion.
Well, that must mean there's some story out there they're suppressing. If that's the case.
Well, no. You just want to keep him quiet altogether. You don't have to worry about him at all. And it's not necessarily about silencing something in particular. It's about silencing anything in the future.
So the bottom line is, I don't think we're going to hear any more about this because it was a non-story wrapped in a story.
I want to ask Jeff this real quick. On this, Jeff, I say it's about killing something in the future, maybe, or is it about hiring an attack dog? You pay his son cuts his dad some of the money, and his dad goes on the attack.
I just think it's just cronyism. I mean, the two are tight, they're friends, and you know, you got to get
my your conspiracy is out of bounds.
Right. Well, you've way overthought it.
Okay. Okay. I put more thought into Stephen Reed.
I don't know. I gotta lean to Dale. I think there's a backstory somewhere in this one. I really do.
I get corruption. I'm a fan.
Oh, he went on Capital Journal and was talking about how the two of them, when they were kids, had their picture with Rosa Parks and how he was said to Todd Stacy that if anything, Donald Watkins Jr. is overqualified for the position. And, you know, you see they just like...
Did he really get his picture? Man. Did they get a picture together with Rosa Parks? Did we see the picture? Was it real? It wasn't AI?
If they had camera phones back then, we'd have had a lot more of them.
All right, speaking of Montgomery, let me get my question before we run out of time. So soon-to-be Governor Tommy Tuberville has said that he would bring in the National Guard to Montgomery. He's urging Trump to go ahead and say, send the National Guard. We got to get Montgomery fixed. It's our state capital. We had a mass. By the way, I'll wrap a question with a question. The issue of Tuberville saying National Guard for Montgomery. But then the other question I have is, why did that mass shooting not get more press? Because I really feel like it was the most underreported big shooting that we had in like the nation. 14 people injured, 2 dead, all in one mass group in downtown Montgomery, just blocks away from our Capitol building. So National Guard and underreported Dale.
Black-on-black mass shootings is not news. Mm. I'm sorry. It's just not. It's just like violence in the Middle East. No Jews, no news. In this particular point, it just doesn't matter. I mean, go look around. We can find. I guarantee you a 3-second Google search while Jeff's talking will turn up a story where 3 or more gunmen hurt 10 or more people in the last 2 days. Somewhere in an inner city somewhere. And that's why it's not big news. It's big news when it happens at a school. It's big news when it happens at a fair. It's a big news when it goes on like that. But downtown Montgomery, in a city that's already riddled with crime, I mean, isn't it just another Saturday night?
Wow. Jeff?
And there's no like Second Amendment gun grab angle, right? There's nothing they can do to bolster their anti-gun movement. I do have one kind of side question here. I thought the Glock switch ban was supposed to stop all this.
Yeah. no doubt. That was going to clean up the streets of Birmingham and Montgomery, and what happened? Mass shooting. I look at the whole thing, and I think what you're really seeing is you don't report the stories. I mean, you said black-on-black crime is underreported. I think blue city crime gets underreported. I think A, the press is desensitized.
It's literally the same thing, though.
Oh, okay. I think what we're looking at is the press is A, desensitized to it, and B, needs it to not be feeding into an alternate narrative than the one they already want. And so I look at the Montgomery story as being one that got way underreported. Like, it should have been more. I think our state government should have made more of it. But the other piece of this is Tuberville calling in the National Guard. We got about 30 seconds here. Yay or nay, Dale?
Absolutely. Sooner the better.
Jeff?
Yeah, he said he would have if he were governor already, is what he told me.
Yep. I'm thinking go for it, because National Guard in the streets actually appears to work. They're a great augmentation for us. All right. Man, that's round one. All right, round one, Grand Council. Y'all stay tuned. Round two with Jeff Poore, Dale Jackson, this little old me. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side of Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just saving the world one soundbite at a time. All right, we're back to round two with the Grand Council. Jeff Poore, Dale Jackson, and me. All right, second round, first question. Dale Jackson, what you got?
Well, I want to go back to what we were talking about a second ago, and I want to hit on the thing about there was another shooting last week in Lincoln, at Lincoln University, I believe in Arkansas, same exact situation, HBCU event, multiple shooters, dead, just a complete mess, almost absolutely no coverage. All right, anyway, back to the issue, the SNAP stuff. Everyone's saying do it, let more people be a part of it. Let's go ahead and let the states fund this thing. Any chance Alabama does that?
Jeff?
I don't know, but maybe. Probably not, though. The legislatures aren't typically aligned with the governor, right? So, I guess it depends on how bad it gets. Could we see something bad happen? And then maybe, but it's hard to see a scenario right now.
The only way I can see it happening, granted, we have surplusage and we also have a rainy day fund in Alabama, but most of that involves legislative action. They can't just do it without coming into session, so there'd have to be a special session for it. And then at the same time, I don't think the world believes this shutdown can go on much longer, to be honest. And I would be shocked. I mean, right now, I think Bessette said this morning, Treasury Secretary Bessette said this morning that we're looking at SNAP has got a couple more weeks left in it. Like November 15th is when it could go really like downhill. And if that's the case, if this thing is finished in the next 2 weeks, we're good. And even if it's not finished in the next 2 weeks, I don't think any legislature is going to jump into session the very day SNAP's running out. I think they're going to wait and see if it's going to go up.
Are they going to send a check out on the first?
I thought I heard that we had a little bit more left in SNAP to go. Did I read that wrong?
Is it possible they're waiting for the off-cycle elections
yes.
to go by?
I said that yesterday. Then we
come back and make a deal.
I said that yesterday that they were. I think that part of the backstory here is they want to see how they do in the Virginia election and in the New York mayoral election. And if they come out with a landslide victory in the Democrat way, they're going to consider themselves to be champions. And if they lose big or lose at all, they're going to go, guys, we got to wrap this up. We're killing ourselves. Dale, what are your thoughts?
No, I don't think that any many legislatures are going to get in there and put their own money in. I don't think so either right now.
I think it's too soon for that, and I don't think it's going to happen. Next question, real quick, what you got, Jeff?
How you feel about chairman of the Republican Party here in Alabama, John Wall, kind of play diplomacy with the Alabama Education Association, who I would argue there's a lot of reasons they don't operate in good faith. But he's getting assurances from these guys that they're not going to touch home schools. Do you trust these guys, figures in the conservative movement here in Alabama?
What was the last part of your question? Do I trust them? What about conservatives? What?
As part of the conservative movement here in Alabama, do you trust the AEA?
No. I use this term sparingly. I have said before that the AEA, the teachers union, is one of the most evil organizations in the state of Alabama. And I don't say that lightly. I don't throw it out there like it's a brand that I use for everybody I don't like. If I say they're evil, then it's only because I got personal experience that tells me this is an evil organization. You cannot trust them. Don't turn your back on them. They will shaft you in a heartbeat. At the same time, they will also demand everything they want and give you nothing in return. They are all about their agenda, which has nothing to do, by the way, with education. Did I make myself clear enough, Dale?
Well, I think you're right. This is why it's so funny to watch how they're navigating the real world. Live by the sword, die by the sword. They made it clear they want to knock out every Republican out of every race and every seat at every opportunity. That's how the teachers unions operate. And then as soon as the elections are over and they lose because they're hated, they're like, hey, guys, can't we work together? And anyone who goes, yeah, sure, is an idiot. I mean, it's really that simple. Who cares what they want? If it happens to align with something that I want, great. But I'm not listening to them if I'm a member of the legislature. I've proven I don't need them. I beat them.
Yeah,
I'm not going to help them.
And I'll tell you right now, I lived through the AEA wars. Part of my concern is that the current Republican group in Montgomery, some of whom are rock solid people, I get it, they're conservatives, but they were not there for what I call the AEA wars. They were not there when we were having to fight and we were getting like, you know, all kinds of, I'm talking about bully tactics. I don't mean like a little bit. I mean, like it was shameful the way they acted, the way they mobilized.
Right, but now
they're
selling the whole, we're nice. Most of our members are conservative guys. Oh, come on. It's just not believable to anyone that knows.
It is not. Hey, listen, I got one last question for you. 30 seconds. Real quick. Do you think that this is the week the shutdown ends or no, Dale?
I think it's over by Monday, but you guys made a pretty good argument about taking it past the election. But it looks like everything's working against them at this point. Why would they want this to be dangling over those elections?
No kidding. Jeff?
Yeah, and then to back up Dale's point, I think they're going to win those races with or without the shutdown, right? So I don't know, but they're paranoid enough to stick with it.
We'll see. I'm thinking that we've got about another week of this. I don't think they'll go all the way to mid-month paycheck time. I think they'll stop before they get there. But that's my thoughts. Hey, fellas, as always, I appreciate you more than you can possibly know. Both of y'all have taught me a lot. This is my last week. This is the last opportunity for Grand Council. But I just want you to know how much you both have meant to me the last 4.5 years. Dale, thanks for giving me a chance, buddy.
Yeah, I don't think I've been praised enough, but you can work on that over the next couple of days.
All right. See you, fellas. That's Jeff Poor, Dale Jackson, and this little old me. That's your last round of Grand Council. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.